clothes, I wear them. I wear them out. When I get new shoes, I wear them out. I can't wait to wear them. I can't wait to show my friends. I can't wait to show you all, people I don't know, people I know, my new clothes. I love it because I look good in it. Until the clothes I wear get old, the shoes I have don't necessarily feel the same as when they first did. My shirt gets stained. My pants get ripped. I had to ask Miss Gina to sew my pants up for me before I went to camp, actually. My shoes get dirty, and all of a sudden, I don't feel like wearing these clothes in front of you all. They start to become what I lounge around in, what I do yard work in. I may keep them close to me, but they're in the closet, and they're never coming back out. How many of y'all got shoes in your closet that you don't wear? Or the shirt in your closet that you don't wear? You don't wear it anymore because it doesn't have any value to you anymore. Sometimes it's simply time for something new. Sometimes it's time for something new. And if you don't believe me, look in your closet and look at those old clothes. See, we are constantly changing and constantly growing. And you wouldn't necessarily put on that Leatherman's jacket that you got in high school anymore and wear it around. You wouldn't grab your shirt from college and wear it around because you've outgrown that time period. Or simply because it's just old. It's got tears in it. As we grow up, we grow out of the hobbies that we like. We grow into the ways that we believe. And we grow out of things that we used to believe. But as we believe in Jesus, we are called to grow and constantly change out of our old self. As we believe in Jesus, we are called to grow and constantly change out of our old self. So we're going to read Colossians chapter 3. Let me make sure I got this on. All right, there it goes. Colossians chapter 3. Y'all go ahead and stand up and we'll read it. And it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." And we'll stop at verse 11. "Here, there's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord, I just come to you today, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would open up our eyes and open up our hearts to what it is you're trying to tell each and every one of us. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak through me and use me, God. And Lord, we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, awesome. All right. So now these points that I have for you today are really elementary points. But sometimes we need to go back to basics. We need to go back to the basics, because if we can't consistently do the fundamental aspects of what it means to live as a Christian, then we have to go back to our fundamentals simply. We have to relearn them. So think about the fundamentals for living like Jesus. Do you live for Christ in your daily life? My first challenge for you today is that we need to change out of the things we seek. We need to change the way we seek. Change out of the things we seek. Or are looking for, or desire. Naturally, what I seek is what's best for me. Right? We may tend to seek service for the benefit of feeling good or to get that pat on the back. We may seek friendship, not because we want to be that person's friend, but because they got something that we want. We may seek a church to gain community and uphold social status without seeking Christ-centered relationships through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we seek, coming from the Greek, right, Michael? Zeteo. Amen. There it is. Zeteo, what we look for, what we desire, trying to obtain. Y'all played hide and seek before, right? Man, you played hide and seek in the dark. Ooh, it's fun. You're trying to obtain someone. You're trying to obtain something. So what are you looking for in the life that you live? And are you desiring Christ? Are you trying to obtain Christ? Are you looking for Him? Or do you quit when it gets hard? Because you're ready to move on to something else. You play hide and seek for a while, right? After you can't find Him. You say, hey, I give up. You're done hid. You're up in the tree somewhere and I can't find you. So what do you seek? We can see it in the story of Saul in the Old Testament to see how the Lord feels about us seeking our own way. As the word of the Lord came to Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:11, it says, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry and he cried to the Lord all night because Saul wasn't seeking Jesus. We can see in the New Testament as well, within the story of Judas, getting binded up in his own desires of money and ends up betraying Jesus after he took communion, right? Matthew 26:25 says, Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? And he said to him, you have said so. So listen, just because we see the cup and the bread when we take communion doesn't mean that we are seeking Christ. Just because we see the cup and the bread and we take it, just because we see those things doesn't mean that we are seeking Christ. We can be around the things of Jesus and still not be seeking Him. But I just want to tell you tonight that you can seek Jesus. You can seek Jesus. If I could just encourage you for a minute. Life presents you with many challenges. You may go to work to a job that brings you down. You may come home to a family situation that makes you discouraged. And then you might go through a financial circumstance that you didn't see coming. A health situation that you didn't see coming. But that's all the more to seek Jesus, because greater is He than He is in the world. So we have to seek Jesus. We need to seek Jesus, and you can seek Jesus. I don't understand all your family situations. I'm not married and I don't have kids, but I want to tell you today that you can seek Him. Because we have Jesus. And we seek Jesus by changing our mindset. Our text says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. So if you're a believer, set our minds on the things above and not on earth. Not physically looking above, right? If I were to physically look above and walk, I wouldn't really get too far. But looking within the life that we live spiritually. Looking above our own desires. Looking above our own wants. Looking above what brings us glory. And looking to glorify Christ in all that we do. Because He saved us. Because He died for us. Because we will stand with Him in glory one day. See, it takes being humble to look past your own interests and to look to God. It takes humility to do that. We really have to ask ourselves, are we really doing what's best for God? After a long day, are we looking to please Him? Sometimes that's the last thing on our minds. So we have to set our minds on the things above through humility, because that's what Christ did for us on the cross. Philippians 2:8 says, in being found in human form, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, for me and for you. And let us not forget that he was struggling with this in the garden praying with his soul deeply grieved to the point of death, saying, let this cup pass from me. Let this situation pass from me. But he kept his mind on the things above. And he displayed the ultimate mental toughness in dying in my place. Changing our mindset takes being mentally tough. You got to be mentally tough. You got to be mentally ready. It's the mental aspect, the mental toughness aspect of our lives. When I played football, we would have these mental toughness days in the off season. After a long workout, some days we would have to stay in push-up position for long minutes. Some days we'd have to stay in plank position. Some days we just have to hold our arms after we've ran bleachers and bench press and squatted and power clean. Just hold our arms up in the air. And you would start to hear guys complain. You'd start to hear guys groan and cry because it hurt, because it was hard. But because life is hard, y'all, we need to be mentally tough. We need to be mentally ready. We need to be mentally prepared. Are you prepared? Setting your mind on the things above is to rise above your own wants and desires and rising above the occasion that's been presented to you and still going to God, still going to Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to be mentally tough to not kneel before King Nebuchadnezzar. Paul had to be mentally tough to live for the gospel despite being bruised and battered and beaten and being thrown into jail. And we heard that this morning. Brother Doug preached about it. He still got up and went to the next city and preached the gospel despite his situation, despite the occasion, despite the circumstance. We will have to display mental toughness to keep looking towards Christ, because we will go through hardships and it will make you want to give up. It'll make you want to give in to worldly pleasures. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You change your mind and change it constantly towards what God wants. So we have to change what we seek. We have to change our mindset. And we have to change the way we act. See, Paul lists these earthly things that are within us, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he goes on to say, put away the anger, wrath, and malice, slander, obscene talk, and lying. And Paul says to put these away on the account that this is the way that you used to behave. And do not do these things before God gives you up to the desires of your own heart. You're not sitting at the kids' table anymore. You've outgrown the chair. It's time to grow up. And now you're sitting at what you've been called to sit. The way you've been called to sit. The way you've been called to live. So God sees our sin. And if we don't go to Him in repentance, what makes us think that He's going to bring us out of that sin? If we don't go to Him in repentance, what makes us think that He's going to bring us out of the sin that we are struggling with? Matter of fact, His punishment might be to keep us in it. And see where it leads us, right? Your mom tells you not to touch the hot stove. What do? You touch it anyway. And then you get burned. So you learn your lesson. But sometimes we don't want to learn our lesson. And sometimes it's hard. God tells us not to sin because it's not glorifying to Him and it's damaging to us. And if we were to live a life with sin and without Jesus, we too would get burned. Last week, in youth, we talked about repentance and how it should be a part of our daily lives, a part of our daily living, because we can't overcome our sin without God. So we have to turn to Him. Putting to death the way we act is first acknowledging that we have sinned against God, right? Psalms 51:4 says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." And secondly, we have to put to death sin by striving to live like Christ every day. Striving to live like Christ, trusting in Christ every day and living like Him. Just as many of us have believed in Jesus when we called on His name to save us. I'm not telling you to trust in Him to be saved every day. No, I'm not telling you to do that. But I'm telling you to trust in Him in the way you walk every day, daily, going back to Jesus daily before you get out and get amongst the people. Are you living the way that you're called to live? Ephesians 4:1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord," Paul is talking, "urge you to walk in a manner worthy of calling, worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And lastly, we put to death our sin by reading the Word. I don't know how to live unless I have the Word of God. I wish I could tell you that there was another way that was more convenient to live. But there's not. The Word is everything that we need. Me and the youth boys, we were talking the other day, and a college student, Eli Tolan, he happened to walk in as we were talking, and he sat down with us, and I asked him, I said, "Eli, what do you do when you get out of the rhythms of living for Jesus? What is the answer? You know, how do you get back into that rhythm? How do you get back into it?" And he said, "Josh, I just don't want to give the church answer of reading your Bible and having your quiet time. But the truth is, the church answer is the right answer. Being disciplined in reading your Word and having your quiet time. You just have to put forth the effort. Because we are naturally sinners. Living like Christ doesn't naturally come to us. So it requires effort. We have to practice this way of living, this new way. We have to change our old ways and be renewed every day. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Right? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, the man of God may be complete, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The Word is our God. The Word is our God. The Word can help us to live. It's a necessity. We must have it. Do you have it every day? So we have to change what we see. We have to change the way we think. We have to change the way we act. And all of it has to come through Christ. And to put away our old self and put on the new self. Leave it deep in your closet with your old clothes and your old shoes. Because it's not pretty. And we have to walk remembering where we're headed. So the last point as we wrap up is that you have to live in spite of your culture. In spite of your cultural differences that you may have. That's what Paul is getting to towards the end of this verse. He says, Paul states, "Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." Just in case if you were wondering what part of yourself you can keep, you can hold on to. He cuts right to the core of culture. And he says, no, you have to give that up too. You can't live for the culture too. There's no more division of status, division of race, division of culture, slave or free. Instead, there's Christ. David Platt, he says in his book, Counterculture, he says this, "The gospel of Christ is not a call to cultural compromise in the face of fear. It is a call to countercultural crucifixion, death to self in the face of earthly opposition for the sake of the gospel. So we can no longer be okay with things just because our culture says it's okay, y'all. We can't be okay just because the culture, just because the people say that it's okay. The culture of a teenager may say that it's okay to be whatever you want to be. But the gospel says in Genesis 1:27 that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The culture of a college student may say that the party life is okay and that it's okay to sleep with whoever you want to be. Sleep with whoever you want to be with. But the gospel calls us to purity. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. And to the older individual, right, the culture may call you to believing in the power of politics, but the gospel calls us to obey God and God only. And teach God, right? In Acts 5:29, we see Peter and the apostles being questioned not to teach Jesus, but instead, what do they say? They say, we must obey God rather than man. So we need to understand the world we live in. Not give in to the pull of the world, though. We're in the world. We got to share the gospel, but we can't be conformed to this world. Because they tell us things are okay. They tell us what you feel is okay. What I feel all the time is not okay. I promise you it's not. It's not. He said amen. I was in his office because I knew that the feeling I had on Thursday was not okay. I'm just telling you, how we feel is not okay. So we need to understand the world we live in because we are called to Christ. And with him, you and I and anyone can share the kingdom of God with those who believe in Jesus. We have to change our ways. We have to change the way we live. Right? Galatians 3:28 just echoes this verse, this last part of Colossians 1:11. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. If we believe in Christ, we are one in Christ. There's no more boundaries. There's no more black. There's no more white. There's nothing. There's no more culture. It's putting it away and living for him. And so, I have three questions for you. I'm going to invite Dell to come back up here. I have three questions for you. They're not going to be on the screen, but I do want you to think about it. And just remember, I know these are fundamental principles of Christian living, right? Changing the way, the things we see, changing our mind, and changing the way we act, and putting aside our culture. Elementary, basic, fundamentals of what we're called to do as we believe in Jesus. But the three questions I want you to consider tonight are this. If you consistently set your sights on Christ in heaven, how would your life be different? The second question, what old earthly clothing do you need to get rid of? And lastly, how does wearing Christ's clothing affect the way you live in your daily life? I want to challenge you to that this evening. I want to challenge you to that this week, and I want to challenge you to that for the rest of your life. That you can live for Jesus. That you can put away those old clothes. And if you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't know who Jesus is, come. You can receive him. So you can put away those old clothes too. And if you're here today and, man, you just want to pray with me, come down and pray with me. If something's laying on your heart, if you want to join the church, if you feel called to preach, if you feel called to do whatever, come up, let's talk about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we do love you. And God, we do. We just love you that you would send your son to die for us and to take our place on the cross, God. So Lord, help us to change because you have saved us. And God, I just pray that, man, we wouldn't just think of this time right now as another time, but we would think of this time as a time to grow closer to you, God. So Lord, we love you. It's in your name I pray.